This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. How many jobs do you all have? We asked a question via the YouTube poll because I'm curious. You know, we have inquisitive temperaments around here. Oh, looks like a bunch of you have already voted. Do you currently have more than one job? 41% of you do. Is that because your second job, your second occupation is, it's a hobby, it's a love of yours, it's a passion where you can't do it full time because it might not be able to pay your bills just yet, and maybe you're working toward that end? Or do you work a second job because your first and primary occupation does not pay you enough? WalletHub did a study and a survey of many metro areas in the United States, and it found that Wisconsin residents are working more than one job, even more and at a higher rate than some other states. So I am very curious. Do you all have more than one job? When I think about it, let me see. No, because when I leave here, I'm essentially done. There's obviously other things I can task myself with. There's some other professional endeavors I may involve myself with, but I don't go to another place and punch another clock. I don't get another hourly wage by working somewhere else. Now, there's a couple other little few projects that I might be asked to be a part of, but they are very, very optional. For the most part, this is my only job, but I do it damn near full time. It takes a lot to prepare. Even when I do, I suppose I do have a second job, but I don't get paid for it. Every so often, I'll do a YouTube broadcast. Did one last night. Those are fun, though. And I don't know, maybe one day it produces some revenue, but I don't do it in hopes that it will replace either this professional endeavor or some of the other professional endeavors that I may be involved in. I have been the executive director of a political action committee for 11 years, but that only gets activated every so often. We are not as involved in politics and in some of the smaller races like we once were. We got to be really, really invested in a race, or the outcome of that race, I should say, before we get involved. So I wouldn't necessarily call that a second job, but come to find out, par for the course, 41%, or at least 41% of the people that participate in this program do have another job, and didn't used to be like that. In fact, the shift of the economy in the last, probably 60 years now, you didn't even have to have two people in the same household working. Just the father, just the dad would probably have a manufacturing job, an assembly line job, a production job, and that could be enough for the entire family. You could afford a home. You could afford at least one, maybe even two cars. You could take a little vacation every now and again, and the retirement benefits were fantastic. You retire after 30 years, you have a pension and health insurance for the rest of your life. I'm not sure if there are many endeavors that even exist. I tell you what, if I meet a sugar mama, I'd sign off on y'all, I think. I'd be like, sorry, guys. Sugar mama don't want me working no more. She wants me at the house. It's been real. Peace. Maybe the sugar mama will allow me to do YouTube. But if I was a kept man, ain't nothing wrong with that. Xavier, would you be a kept man if a woman, she's got the money, she's got all the money, all your dreams could come true, you could have whatever you want, go on vacation, buy all the cars you want, money, up the wazoo. Maybe she inherited the money. Maybe she comes from old money. Maybe she comes from new money. Or maybe she did the right thing. She married a fella. He was rich. She divorced him. Now she got half, and she don't want to be all lonely with all that money. And she said, Xavier, I want you to be my boyfriend or something, and you don't have to work anymore. You don't got to go to weddings no more and take photography. You don't have to produce stupid Sherwin show no more. She said, you need to stay home.
Take it right away.
It's exactly.
As long as I have an allowance, so I can put some money away for a rainy day.
She may not like that, but here's what you would probably have to do. Like, there'd be an account where you can just dip in, you know what I mean? And then you say, oh, hey, honey, I'm going to go out with the guys, and we're just going to go and have dinner. I like to take my friends out to dinner. She'd be like, oh, go ahead. The dinner might only cost $175, but you take $1,000. You know what I mean?
Sounds like a plan to me.
And then you spend $175, and then the other $825, you put that away. And then you say, oh, hey, honey, I want to go visit my parents out of state, and the trip is probably going to cost, it's going to cost like $4,000. You got that flight cheap, and the hotel is going to be cheap too. The whole trip only costs $750, but you're going to tell, oh, it's going to be about $4,000, and then you put a little piece of that $4,000 away. That's how you do it. Then over time, you're like, it's not working out. That's what you tell her. Ain't that something that you're the sugar mama and you get broken up with? Woof.
Happens all the time.
I know it does. I know it. Sugar daddies get broken up with too. But the sugar daddy situation may be a little bit different. But here's the thing. All right, so if you are a sugar baby, so the recipient of the sugar, okay, and you're a fella, so you have a sugar mama, you're going to have to do stuff every now and again. You may not have to do it every day, buddy, but you're going to have to do stuff every now and again. You're going to have to earn your keep. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I have a few women that I coach up on that. So, yes.
Hold on, but what you mean? Hold on. You, what do you mean you coach?
Well, you know, there's women that are sugar babies that have sugar daddies. And, you know, I have a few friends. I give them advice to extract the most amount of money from the men.
Bro, you ain't right.
Why?
Do they, because you're helping them, right? You're helping them extract more money. Do they reward you for the advice that you give them? Because your advice should turn into more profit for them. Do they reward you?
Oh, yes. I have generous friends.
See, that means you're a pimp.
No.
Yes, dog, yes, you are. You're pimping. And the sugar daddy is the John. Oh, my God, my producer is pimping.
I'm not even sleeping with the women.
Now, hold on. You don't got to be sleeping with them to pimp. Some of the best pimps never sleep with their colleagues. The stuff you find out, I'm over here being produced by a pimp. Well, they said it ain't easy. Producer by day, pimping by night. If you are helping women get, that's what pimps do. Well, now we got DJ on the line.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time for her to call.
Some funny stories to tell you about that kind of stuff, though.
About pimping?
Not pimping, just
the game is to be
women.
Sold, sir, not told. Just
advising women, you know. Just some of the sugar daddies finding out that they're the John. It's good stuff.
Hold on, you called him a John?
Well, you just called him the John.
I didn't, I didn't use that word, John. So you're even using the lingo.
Oh, well.
How long you been pimping?
I'm advising women.
You're trafficking in men, basically.
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes women need advice. And, you know, I just help them out with it.
Hi, DJ. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just found out that my producer does a little part-time pimping.
Yeah, I heard. It sounds... Sounds like he might be running a mentorship program. I don't know.
Oh, so y'all have all sorts of creative names for. Back in my day, it was just called pimping. But all right, wait a minute. No.
Mentorship.
The question was, how many people have a second job? And, you know, is someone's first job or their primary job, is it not enough? Or do people have a second job because it's like a hobby, something like to do for fun? And as we were on that topic, I come to find out that it looks like my producer does have a second job. He's not just a photographer. Oh, no. He does a little part-time pimping as well. What about you, DJ? Do you have any secondary employment options?
Not at the moment. I used to have too many, so I had to chill out. I was doing too much. But I feel like I maybe missed a conversation around the bar.
Oh, bring it
Is
up.
Is there space for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, it's quite it's just so many things to consider. I was listening to your earlier segment about the convention and how that particular denomination can be strict in terms of how expectations are of how you should behave. And it made me think about how a bar could expect, let me just reiterate, bar, is expecting for there not to be profane language that's coming from the music, and yet your patrons are in fact using profane language as they enter and exit. Are you policing their conversations? Are you policing their clothing? Are you policing what exactly does it mean to have a social institution then restrict music that has profane language in it? And then expect for that to create some sort of change. We do know that Brady Street has had a number of issues. And in fact, a lot of those issues have not always been from their Black patrons. We can talk about the numerous amount of drunk driving instances that occur on Brady Street. We can talk about the fights that occur in bars that don't frequent, that Black patrons don't frequent, nor do they play Black music. And I can think about this space historically having quotas. So what a lot of people don't know is that those bars in those areas, I don't know if they still have them, but they have quotas where they can only play a certain amount of hip hop, which is why they mix them with other genres of music. Most of the time it's like EDM or some kind of house music to minimize the hip hop. And so we should consider how often or how frequently we will patronize those businesses, because this has always been a thing, from that to their dress codes that restrict things that we wear. So if you don't want our business, you should not play our music at all. Don't play our music. Do not expect our money. And then the last thing I'll say is that I just want to kind of touch on Ishdar's swearing on TV. Frankly, I don't have an issue with that, because it is unrealistic for us to expect for people to not use profane language. It is not an example or a representation of his intellectual capacity. I actually know him personally and have been a longtime friend with him. And he is a very intelligent individual. And I know white folks that cuss on TV that are in different positions. It is not a reflection of his intellectual capacity or his character. And so I think we need to be mindful of that and create space for people to be their own person.
Thank you, DJ.
That's it.
Very articulate and eloquent. And thank you for not cussing.
I can let one go if you need
me. No, no. Don't do that. You did a good job. Thank you. All right, DJ. Have a nice day. All right, then, DJ. Couple of things. She's very good, by the way. I like her delivery. I don't necessarily agree with most of what she said, and let me tell you why. If patrons use profanity, that should not be the excuse nor the reason why the owner of an establishment should play music that also features profanity or obscene lyrics. Let me tell you why, because the owner of the establishment that has a lot more responsibility than just the patrons that they serve. The owner of the establishment can control what music gets played because they curate the environment and the atmosphere of the establishment in which they are licensed to operate. You can't control the language of your customers, but to say because the customers use profanity, we're going to use or we're going to play songs or sanction songs where women are hoes and bees and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the owner of the establishment, for some reason, we believe that when something seems like it appears like it could be pro-black or favors black people, you know, black folks don't have to go to every place that plays hip hop. Why do we think that we have some kind of ownership? Sometimes white folks want to play hip hop music out in Elkhorn. Does that mean, oh, that's the black club now because they play hip hop? We arbitrarily welcome ourselves in spaces in which we were never invited and then get angry and upset when the most egregious elements of our culture begin to bubble to the surface, and then they decide that they don't want us anymore. We assume ownership because they are playing our music, that this is our spot and our place, and then we get these rude awakenings, and that is what this younger generation does not understand about white supremacy and about racism. They will tolerate you until they do not, and they don't have to give you any warning when the tolerance runs out. This is not acceptance, ladies and gentlemen. This is simply tolerance. And so I appreciate DJ's call, and she's always welcome to call in because I just love hearing from her. But also, so I was reading in the comments, and Ishtar, thank you, Ishtar, for being in the comments. He got a little mad at me. And I took issue with, because Zach is in the comments too, and Zach is the biggest stickler for profanity I've ever met in my entire life. Zach has ended calls that I was on because he thought that somebody said something that was vulgar. Zach has ended telephone calls that I was on doing my show when Zach wasn't even the producer, right? So Zach has got a particular feeling about profanity over terrestrial airwaves too, and it's been well documented, and I don't think that Zach would ever deny that. But when you are trying to prove a point, sometimes it is best to use alternative vocabulary, because what you don't want to do in these rare moments when you have an opportunity to plead your case in front of a potentially sympathetic audience, which a broadcast media audience very well could be depending upon how you carry yourself and how you deliver yourself. But where I think they sold you short, Ishtar, if you're still in the chat, is when they told you that you could cuss, they set you up to look like someone who does not have a big vocabulary. They caught you. I know how we operate. We are media people, are sinister and evil, and we can influence stuff that people don't even know that we're trying to influence. So when they say, oh, no, you can use profanity, because I'm sure that interview was much longer than the clip that they played. And there's probably a whole bunch of pieces, Ishtar, that they could have played where you didn't use the sugar honey iced tea word, but they played that on purpose and intentionally. They did that on purpose. Now, that's one part of it. The other part is because a place plays hip hop and it's a gathering place for African-Americans who like that genre of music does not mean that we are always going to be welcome there. And then I would argue is if there's a place like that, and there's probably a bunch in the city where they play hip hop and black people feel comfortable and feel welcome there, do they have any black people on staff? I mean, other than like bartenders, are any black people in management? Are there people that work or own that whatever that establishment is, that have decision-making ability? If the answer is no, then they can shut it down whenever they want. Here's the thing about the hi-hat in the garage, because these places are connected. They were in existence long before black folks found any value in going there. And so when you go into a business that has been around for 35 or 40 years, you have to keep in mind that they had a customer and a client base before black folks showed up. Now, what a lot of businesses will do is they try and move with the times. If there's a growing African-American population in Milwaukee, and if that growing population has more disposable income, of course they're going to play our music because they want your wallet, but they don't want anything else. They don't want the crime. They don't want the trouble. They don't want the disorderly conduct. They don't want any of that. They want you to come in, buy those overpriced drinks, because we'll pay a lot of money for drinks. That's the thing about black folks. When we go out, we'll let you rip us off. You go to a black club, cover charge can be an unlimited amount of money, and we'll pay it. In fact, you go to a black club, you can have two separate lines. One is a $50 line. One is a $100 line. That's a trick. You know who used to do that? Ladybug Club. And then they changed the name to 618 Live. The $50 line never moves, because guess what you're going to do eventually? It's called supply and demand. If the $50 line, the $50 cover charge, this is just to get in. You don't even get a back rub. You pay $50 to get in, you don't even get a happy ending. That you don't even get a free drink. But here's what they do, and we fall for it. The $50 line doesn't move, and eventually you're going to get fed up. You're going to go in the $100 line because you know that way you're going to get in. And we fall for it. Go to a majority white bar. You know what kind of band or music, like what kind of live act that they have to feature at a majority white club or bar, whatever, for white people to pay a cover charge? White people aren't paying 50 cents to get in. Hey, welcome to Country Rock and Roll Bar. Hey, how are you guys? Oh, we're doing all right, dude. What's going on? Yeah, we have a 74 cent cover tonight. 74 freaking cents, dude. Are you freaking crazy? We'll go down the street and spend our freaking money. You tell the black person, yeah, we got local hip hop tonight. We got all the hip hop artists coming in, all the Milwaukee artists. Steve the Stoner is going to do a boombox concert. Cover charge is $982. Y'all take Visa. If these bars and these nightclubs or whatever the hell they are have been operating before black patrons discovered them, that is who their original customer base is. And if that original customer base drifts off too far, because the thing about black folks and nightlife, we'll change our habits. Like one spot might be hot this summer. Next summer, it's going to be somewhere else. So why would you got to think about this practically now. Why would you want to sacrifice your foundational customers for a cohort of African Americans who may find another place next summer, next spring, next year? And you've gutted your original foundation of customers. And a lot of times those customers are not going to come back. This is why so many bars close. A lot of times black folks will find a location. And we take it over and we scare away all the white customers. I mean, we don't care about that. That's not our problem. As long as we're having a good time and we're getting good service, we don't care. But then there's a shooting or there's a fight or whatever the case may be. They do what the hi-hat in the garage is doing. We're going to shut down for 2 weeks. And sometimes those places never reopen. That is why we cannot keep the number of black-owned bars and clubs that have come and gone in this city in the last 20 years will blow your mind. The number of black-owned bars and clubs, because we try it with our people. We do, because we get sick of going to white people's places. The number of black-owned bars and clubs that have opened and closed in the last 30 years is more than current open establishments we have in the entire city right now. It's that many. Take a break, come back. Still talking about how many jobs you have. Xavier just told us about his secondary endeavor. What about you guys? Do some of you DJ on the weekends? Maybe I should start DJing. Ooh, they'd hate it if DJ Sure came on the scene. I'm undercutting everybody. Ooh, what if I was a new DJ at the hi-hat? Ooh, they'd be so hot at me. I say, hey, hi-hat people, how much do y'all pay your DJs? I have no idea how much they pay their DJs. They say, oh, we pay them $350 a night. I say, word? I'll do it for $25 and a pina colada. Hired. Come to the hi-hat tonight featuring DJ Sure. And guess what? I'm not playing them artists on that list. I know where my bread is buttered. Ooh, they'd want to kill me, wouldn't they? Because I don't need the DJ money. So I'd be like, oh, yeah, just give me a Big Mac, large fry, and an orange soda. I'd DJ all night long. DJ Sure. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Wisconsin residents are working multiple jobs at one of the highest rates found anywhere in the country. A new report ranking the country's hardest working states from personal finance website WalletHub puts Wisconsin at 20th overall, but also notes that nearly 8% of the state's workers have multiple jobs, and that's the third highest in the country. John Haywood, a UW-Milwaukee economics professor, said inflation is likely a factor pushing more people in Wisconsin to get a second job as they face rising prices. But it could also be a result of some of the seasonal work common across Wisconsin and in the agriculture, construction, and tourism industries. My brother got a second job. He works at Kohl's. So I went to Kohl's to mess with him. He didn't even talk to me. He damn near ignored me. He was putting the shoes away. I'm like, I'm not coming here anymore if you can't lollygag with me. What's the point of having your brother work at Kohl's? We can't play hide and seek in the clothing section. You guys remember being a little kid and hiding in the clothing rack? Was I the only one that did that? I used to go shopping with my mother, which I hated. I hated it. I hate shopping with women now because here's what I come to find out. Ladies will go shopping with no intention of buying anything. Why? Why would you do that? I know what I'm going to get before I even leave the house. I know what store I'm going to. Hell, I know where I want to park at the store. When I get into the store, I don't need help from anybody because I know exactly what aisle, what shelf, and what rack the thing that I'm going to get is. And guess what? I buy it. And I don't need to try it on because I know my size because I literally live in my own body. I can look at a shirt. I can look at the damn shirt and tell if it's going to fit. And I buy the shirt. And I take the shirt home. I still don't try the shirt on. You know when I try the shirt on? When I'm about to wear it. I take the tags off. If the shirt is wrinkled, I'll iron it. If I can get away with not ironing the shirt, I'm certainly going to try that. But that will be the first time that that shirt ever is on my body. When I wear it for the first time. You go shopping with a woman, she's got a whole bunch of stores that she wants to go to, and she just wants to look, and she wants to try on stuff, and then she wants to ask me how she looks in certain things. Why would you do that? I don't understand. Why do women do what they do? Xavier, I'm tempted, because I think we got everything we needed to get from this YouTube poll. I'm tempted to have you put up another YouTube poll, but I don't want to take responsibility for anyone who may get angry at the YouTube poll, because I got to know. I got to know. And ladies, I'm not trying to offend you. I love you so very much. We cannot live without you. You know what else is disappointing? That some of y'all would choose the bear. I don't know, maybe men, we should choose the bear too, because bears don't kill their children, so there's that. I don't want to make them mad. Do women nag each other?
Well, you know, Susie, you need to go over here. Why? This is not going to do itself. The work is not going to be completed. What are you waiting for? You know that you have to go and you got to file the reports, and you know you've got to do the laundry. Why are you not doing the laundry? The laundry's not going to do itself. Did you go to the store? Did you get fabric softening? You know you got to get fabric. Why are you waiting to get the fabric softening? You probably should go either before work and go earlier. There probably won't be a line at the grocery store. Or maybe if you can go, if you can squeeze it in, if you go after. Do women nag each other? Or do you just, is it just us? How do women, or is that being a girl's girl? When you're a girl's girl, you just don't hold other women accountable and responsible for anything. Yes, girl. Yes, you do that. Yes, girl. Cheat on your man. Yes, girl. Absolutely. You're for the streets, girl. We love it so much. Yes, girl. Is that what it... Am I going to get in trouble if I ask that question? Because I genuinely want to know. And I'm coming from a place of deep affection for women. It's disappointing that women, when you ask them, and maybe I'm just watching too much crap on my feed, where you ask a group of random women, hey, could you live on a planet without men? And they all say yes. Oh, I could walk around at night and not have to worry about my safety, and I can wear whatever I want and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but what would get fixed? Your roads and bridges would crumble?
Buildings would fall apart? Your algorithm is poisoning you.
You think so?
Yes. You kind of are coming off of like almost like incel energy.
I don't think incels exist. It is impossible to not get laid.
It is.
If you
possible.
Are not getting laid, you are literally choosing not to. I'll die on that hill. Because go pay $150. Get your rocks off, bro. That's not involuntarily celibate. I think they just want women to throw themselves at them. Women rarely do that. But also, even if they did, nobody wants a fish that jumps in a boat. I want to catch one. You know what I mean?
No, just some of the guys, they're talking to the women, and the women are not perceptive to them because they may not, you know, be as good looking, or they might be a little weird, and they need to do a little personal work But
that's not involuntarily celibate. You got to do work on yourself. If you want to enter another human being's body, bro, there's a very minimum standard in which you need to carry yourself because you're actually asking a lot. And so these go, oh, these women, they don't want to help. They don't want to have sex with me. You're gross. You're disgusting. Your fingernails are dirty. You don't take care of yourself. No, you wouldn't want to sleep with you, sir. And also, if you're involuntarily celibate, if you're a man, okay, and no women want to sleep with you, try men. I bet you get laid then. No, hold on. That's not, you said involuntarily celibate. They're involuntarily celibate, potentially with the wrong sex. Try approaching a man. I bet you get your rocks off that way, buddy. You ain't incel no more. No. Involuntarily means there's nothing that I can do to receive physical affection. And then I would wonder, have they tried everything in order to try and receive physical affection? Have you taken a shower? Have you put on clean clothes? Do you have a nice pair of shoes? Have you combed your hair? Have you trimmed your disgusting beard? Have you done? Well, no! I just want a woman to want to sleep with me. Have you brushed your teeth? Have you gone to the dentist? Well, no. That's not involuntarily so, but that's, you know what it is? It's boys that were so coddled by their mamas. Their mamas, oh, you're such a handsome boy. I am, mama. And he gets out here into the real world because women, they'll be honest with you. And I think that's what a lot of men need because far too many men were raised by helicopter parents and bulldozer parents telling them their whole life that they were perfect and the parents cleared all the obstacles. The biggest obstacle that a man will face other than like money challenges and maybe health issues is going to be women. Biggest obstacles we are going to face. But once you have the health challenges underway, and it could be taking care of your health, it could be being in shape, and once you have the money challenges all sorted out, you don't even got to do nothing. Women will just come. They'll jump in your boat. That's it. So involuntarily celibate might mean, bro, put in a little bit more effort because it's usually worth it. It's worth it. Put in a little effort. All right, it's
definitely worth it.
Thank you, Xavier. And I know you don't believe some of that incel stuff, too. These are men that just in no universe could they ever get laid. And if you look at them and talk to them, like, oh, I totally get it, sir. You're disgusting. That's why. All right. Oh, my guest isn't here yet. This is the wrong time to be talking about this stuff. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes exclusively on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Come on, Stevie.
And let me tell you, girl, I hope and pray each day I live. A little more love I have to give.
Lady B says, Lady B, you back to your old tricks. You just can't keep it together. She said, you were probably doing too much like you always do, Sherwin. Visiting me at work, no work would get done. First of all, if I visit somebody at their job, I don't care if they get work done. It ain't my job. I'm not going to get fired. I don't care if you're not working. When I come to visit you at work, literally stop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. Don't work when I show up. I mean, tell your manager or whoever you got to take a break because Sherwin just showed up. Don't work when I'm there. The hell is the point of me coming to visit for you to work? You can work when I'm not there. Lady B, where you work at? We need to just figure this damn thing out. I need to get this thing over with. I need to see what you look like. Where you work at, Lady B? Tell me where your job is. Tell me what you occupy. Where you work at? She might work in a damn coal mine somewhere.
I think she's just all talk.
Now she got fired for stealing boxes on her day off. How you get fired on your day off? They said they caught me stealing boxes. Oh, my goodness. What is happening to this world? The Jehovah's are here early. A bunch of them are here. I see them. They're wearing blue vests. They're here in the market hall. They're going to try and convert y'all. Oh, speaking of which, I need a woman between the ages of 35 and 55 to be the second half of my Halloween costume. Okay? We can go from petite to plus size, but I need the age range of 35 to 55. It's going to be a long weekend because this year Halloween falls on a weekend. In fact, it's Saturday, October 31st. And so all weekend we're going to be going to Halloween-themed events, including costume parties in which there is a cash prize. I've put a lot of thought into this Halloween costume. This one is going to win. It's going to be literally the most original idea anyone has ever seen. I had a Halloween costume idea many, many years ago, but I couldn't get someone to oblige me. I needed a white woman. She didn't have to have blonde hair, but a blonde wig would have sufficed, and then she would have been wearing a white dress, of course, for more dramatic effect, just covered in blood, and then I would have been OJ. People are like, oh, sure, well, we can't dress like that, that somebody will be offended. I was like, how much time needs to pass, you know? It's Halloween. Xavier, should we put up the poll? Because I just want to see.
Yeah, what do you want the poll to be?
But can you take the heat for it? If somebody gets offended, will you take responsibility for the poll?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. How do we word it? Ladies, comma, do you nag each other or just men? And then the choices will be, I guess, no, hold on, we need the answers. Ladies, do you nag each other? And then the answers or the responses could be, I don't know how we do the responses. Do you nag each other or just men? Maybe that's just what the poll is. Do you nag each other or just men? And then, because can you have just one response? Okay, then the response will be men. Because I'm curious if they.
For the answer?
Yes. Do you nag each other? Or no, the responses will be each other or men. Okay. Or both. Each other, men, or both. Because some just are naggered. And where do you learn that? Like, probably from your mother, I guess. Oh, there's nothing worse than. I'd rather be alone. Because it's usually when you're trying to rest, like, oh, I had a long day of radio. I just want to come home and watch CNBC, see how the market is doing, see if I need to adjust my portfolio to maybe add more bond positions or whatever the case may be. And then here she comes, stomping.
You know, the grass is not going to cut itself. And I'm thinking about planting some shrubbery. Should we go to the garden center and just look? Can we go to the garden center? Can you drive? I don't have any gas in my car. Is your Tesla charged up? Because I really don't want to drive. I'm also hungry. Are you hungry?
And you got to say that you're hungry when she's hungry. Otherwise, she'll feel fat. So now you both have to go and eat. And then you got to go to the garden center to look at shrubbery because she wants to plant some shrubbery. All I wanted to do was lay on the couch and watch CNBC until I drift off and take a nap. That's all I wanted to do. But now I'm going to the garden center, and we're looking at petunias. I didn't even want any petunias. I didn't want any daffodils. Nobody wanted to plant any damn geraniums. Why are you planting geraniums now anyway? It's August. Oh, this poll's going to get us in so much trouble. Ooh. I wish you would put your name on this. So for the poll, ladies and gentlemen, that is currently on the YouTube, it has nothing to do with me. This is Xavier the Pimp. He coaches women on how to extract money from their sugar daddies, which I don't even, that's not even a bad thing to do because you are providing a much needed service, because here's the thing about how you can get money from men. And far too women, too many women believe that you have to use, you have to be body forward, use your body first. The best way to get money from a man is you cater to his ego. And you don't even have to give up the cookies. I mean, eventually, maybe as a little maintenance to keep him from drifting. Because also, the sugar daddy is transient. Because he'll just find. Because if you have the money, you can give your money to whoever you want to. There, he can't commit and doesn't need to commit to you. And that's, you got to be careful with that, because some women are expecting their sugar daddy to be consistent. He can, just like the garage, he can decide, nope, I'm going in a different direction. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And you can complain. You can do an interview on CBS 58. Well, I don't think it's fair that my sugar daddy all of a sudden put up a list of requirements for me. He can change whenever he wants to because he has the money. But if you really want to get money from a man, you cater to his ego. Some men just want to be told that they're handsome. That's it. That compliment goes a long way, because if you tell a woman she's pretty, especially if she is pretty, she's probably heard it a bunch. Men don't really get told they're handsome. Women get told they're pretty by everybody, other men, and especially other women. Women will tell unpretty women that they're pretty because they know how great of a compliment that is. If a man gets told he's handsome, that puts a spring in our step, especially if she's an attractive woman. You let a woman tell me I'm handsome, I'm like, okay, well, what are we doing here still? Like, why are we still here? Why are we?
That only works for a little bit.
But it works.
Yes.
If a really attractive woman just came up to you, it's like, you know I don't know you, and I know you're probably busy. I just wanted to stop and tell you that I think you're really handsome, and I wanted to introduce myself to you. Me and her going on a date. That date already started. We're on our first date.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Come ride with me. Let's go somewhere. I'm taking my favorite restaurant. Daddy, please.
I got a hot date tonight.
You do?
Yes.
Really? Where are you going?
You know, I think I'm going to go to a vegan spot.
Oh, is that right? Is she one of them vegans?
Yeah, she's a vegan lady.
There's one on Farwell, Strangetown. I don't know if they're still open.
Oh, yes.
Top,
that was, I was
top notch, bro. Seriously. Great vibe, great atmosphere. Everybody there is a little bit of a hippie, but that's fine. You don't mind that. No, great place to go. A woman took me on a date. Let me tell you where we went. We went to Strangetown for dinner. We went to the speakeasy in the Black Cat Alley, that little speakeasy right there. And then guess where we went after that? We went to the Landmark Lanes and had some drinks at the bar at the Landmark. And she paid for the whole thing. That was a great night.
Sounds like a great night.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. And then, she knows that I'm a Bucks fan. And the glasses that they served our drinks in were these Milwaukee Bucks themed. It had the Bango logo on it and then a ball and a net. And then the woman I was with, because she knew that I liked Bucks, she was like to the bartender, hey, how can we buy these glasses? How much if we want to purchase these two glasses? And the bartender was so cool, she was like, well, they're technically not for sale, but. This is what the bartender said to us. She said, I'm going to walk down here and serve these customers on the far end of the bar. And if your two glasses happen to disappear, well, then I guess I'll have to pour you new drinks and new glasses. So my homegirl, she brought her big purse that night. She put the glasses in her purse. Perfect night. All right, I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to be speaking with Michael Nguyen. He is the executive director of Teach for America Milwaukee. That's why we got to clean this conversation up before he gets here now, and I really hope he's not listening. Because we're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about representation in the classroom and why our students and our children that are attending school really need to see more diverse teachers, because it will ultimately help improve their academic outcomes. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
Oh. I highly suggest you play this song for your day tonight, Xavier.
Let me know about your special secret.
Oh, no.
I don't think that'll work.
Look, you might ask her what her special secret is. She might say, I used to be a man. How you like them apples?
Well.
What you mean, well? Date over, sir. Like, why would you reveal it then? Like, reveal it early so someone can make a more informed decision.
I'm pretty sure she's a female. She's a tiny little woman.
All right. Like, if I used to be Sherwina.
Hopefully she's not listening right now.
I doubt it. Your women don't listen to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they don't.
I don't know who listens to my show. Actually, I have no idea. I know I run into people. Oh, sure, when I listen to your show, I'm like, you do? But then there's always like a caveat. I listen until Al calls or Bob calls or something. I can't look at the poll results without voting in it. Only a few people have voted so far, but what are we looking like?
33% say they nag men, and then 11% say they nag each other, and then 56% say they nag both.
Yuck. At least they're consistent with it. Fellas, maybe we need to start nagging. We do. We just do it productively. You know what I mean? We don't do it. We do it in a way that hopefully elicits the desired results. I don't know if we nag. We suggest. We make suggestions. Or we give very direct action or hints, perhaps. Right? I don't know. Let's see if I can read some of these comments. We'll close the poll for the time being. LaRon says, if I go shopping with a woman, I'm literally looking for another woman and all and other women you see while shopping know it. Even it's a bye week during football season. So hang on a second. If you go shopping with a woman, you're looking for, I guess women do make good wingmen, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Because they do.
You're already kind of like proofed, you know? If I see a woman, this is me. Some of y'all are very different than me, okay? If I see a woman that's with another man, yuck. Don't. No thanks. No thank you. No. Hi, Michael. You probably have no idea what you're walking into. I guarantee you the interview is going to go very, very well. It's going to be very professional. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you. Right now, I'm just cleaning out some of the radio cobwebs or getting some of these old topics out of the way before we make way for you. No, it's going to be totally fine. Don't worry about it. I also hope you weren't listening earlier. But no, it's fine. It's totally fine. Michael is here. We're going to be talking about education. And representation matters, ladies and gentlemen. You know, our young people and our students, they need to see teachers that look like them. It automatically, in my opinion, makes the information just a little bit more credible. I didn't have my first black teacher. Well, I had a black librarian in elementary school. I don't know if that really counted. I was like, oh, a black woman. She's good with the books. So I guess that was a good foundation. But I didn't get a black teacher until I was in high school. And then I had a couple of black professors in college, but I think where I needed to see more, especially black men, had I seen more black men, say in middle school, maybe more black teachers in elementary school, I may have considered one day getting into the profession of teaching. I still can. I'm not too old to be a teacher. I just know this. Please send your children to me already disciplined. All right, I'm going to take a break, come back. Going to have our very informative conversation with our monthly segment that we do sponsored by City Forward Collective. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, and I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.